This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Get ready to talk to David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. I know a lot of people have questions about Brian Broaddus. David Hellman is, he's been his teammate for a very long time now.
So have we, though.
We're very fortunate that we're going to continue to be Brian Broaddus' teammate, and I'm looking forward to the work we get to do with him in the future. Sorry about Dave's loss, but, you know, it's our game.
He literally was in my lap the whole way to Miami.
I don't know if you know this. They call David Hellman Tiny Jim, so that is true that he was
Does
in his lap.
Does he enjoy that?
I have it in my phone as Tiny Jim, so I'll just put it to you that way. All right, Kevin, let's go with Jerry Jones this morning. He was on with Sean and RJ. And we're going to start with Cut 14 here, Shippy. Have the Cowboys transitioned to a throw-first team?
No. I think that without a doubt, without question, one of the reasons that we're having the opportunity to throw the ball as much as we are is because the defense is giving up some of their ability to defend the pass by stopping the run. That's a fact. And so you can't have it all. And when you hedge your bets against the run, when you're on defense in the NFL or in football, then if you've got real competence back there, they'll tear you up in the passing game. Aikman, when they would load that box for Emmitt Smith and try to hit him before he got 5 yards sometimes before he was hit, when they would load it up there, well, Aikman would tear them up with Novacek and with Mike Lervin. Well, they wouldn't do that because that'd take about 6-7 plays to go down that field. And so they backed off, and Emmitt Smith be the first to tell you that had a lot to do with how well he and his stats relative to yardage gain.
Now, that's one of the reasons I love the ability to do the Radio Rewind on radio.com app, and we can go back and listen to stuff like that because Jerry is basically saying they've had to do different things to stop the run. And because of that, now we have to expose and punish them with the pass. Dak did a good job. The Cowboys' decision to stick with that philosophy even late in the game when they could have gone back to the run, though, that's where it really matters, is their decision-making when it comes down to how will we win the game. Will we win it with the run? Will we win it with the pass? Let's talk with David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. David, how's it going today, man?
Hey, bros. What's going on?
Oh, just hanging in there. And we were listening to Jerry Jones this morning with Sean and RJ doing the Radio Rewind. And we even talked with Travis Frederick about this on Monday. And I don't know if you've quite seen this, but what are some of the things that defenses are doing differently to the Cowboys to force them to pass?
You know, I think a lot of times that gets a little bit overblown. I know you can go back and look at, you can go back and watch it and see like, okay, well, you know, it's not like there's 9 guys in the box every time. A lot of times you're talking about 6-7-man boxes. But in this instance, you can go back and see the emphasis that the Lions put on this. This is a team with a leaky run defense. I think they were 26th or 28th going into that game. They put a pretty heavy emphasis on crowding things up for Zeke. And, you know, you'd like to think you can power through and still gain yardage. You know, if you're as good as you're supposed to be, you'd like to think you can do it anyway. But I think y'all were saying this right before I came on. I applaud them for not being stubborn about it. That's something we've talked about after bad Cowboy games time and time again is that seeming stubbornness to just keep doing something even if it's not working. Well, they got out of that against the Lions, and my hope is that if they keep doing it, you know, eventually if Dak Prescott keeps throwing for 400 yards, defenses are going to back off, and you would like to think it won't be so tough to run the ball once they manage to string some of those performances together.
What if I said I hope defenses don't back off and then we just keep defeating teams by putting up 30-plus points the exact same way we have?
Well, I would argue, I mean, this team has proven they can put up 30 points a variety of different ways. And, yeah, I mean, I hear your point. Don't go away from what's working. But, man, I hope people don't knee-jerk too much. Jerry said this on y'all's station earlier this morning, too, is like, I don't know. Zeke Elliott's still a really, really good running back. Like, the fact that defense is key on him doesn't take away his ability to just grind an opponent down. So, yeah, don't go away from what's working. But I really like the idea of Zeke being able to break a team's will, you know, by running for 120, 130, 140 yards. We've seen it work really well a lot in the recent past. So I wouldn't mind if they were able to get back to that. But again, only if that's what the defense is giving you. There's no need to be stubborn about it.
You know, one time the Rangers traded for the great Cliff Lee with the Seattle Mariners, and we won that trade.
I remember that.
And Cliff Lee was great.
Oh, it hurts, doesn't it?
He was great.
Being a Mariners fan is constant pain, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
He was great at keeping the opponent off balance. You know, and that, I think that's what you think. If you're a great pitcher, if you're calling a great game plan, you got to be able to keep the opponent off balance. But that's one of the things is for the longest time, the Cowboys' balance was, well, we're going to run here and not gain a yard and still be stubborn about it. This time they were like, let's go against what we typically do. Let's switch it up. And that's one of the things that stood out. Even if the Lions were a lesser opponent, an inferior opponent, they got something going that I think they can add on to, Kevin. Do you agree?
Yes. No, absolutely I do.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, we talked
about
it.
That question was for me, Dave. I don't know if you heard
well,
me.
No, well, no, well, you answered it. You answered it, and then I was going to chime in. But, I mean, do you, man. Whatever.
I did see that Jeff, kidding, man. That Kavanaugh said he's three plays in on the Cowboys run game study so far, and Xavier Suofilo has gotten his assignment done zero times. Is it that much of a drop-off from Connor Williams?
So I was a couple minutes late coming down for my hit because I was about to fire up the tape on my own when I realized it was 11:02. So, first of all, no, I don't think it's a huge drop off. We saw them play fine with Xavier Suofilo in the lineup for 8 games last year. If we're strictly speaking, they're 8-1 when he starts at guard, which obviously, uh-oh. I mean, that's not the reason why.
Oh.
But clearly he has proven that he can step in there and play adequately to help them win football games. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to watch it back. I don't know how well or poorly he played, but I don't think the drop-off is so significant that it stops them from moving the ball or winning games, clearly.
Now, going into the Patriots game, the de facto argument, of course, people will be like, oh, it's Tom Brady. And, like, I get all of that. But outside of that, what particular challenges, I guess, offensively, do the Cowboys have to look at straight away?
You, like the Patriots offense?
Yeah,
you mean?
Exactly.
That's the funny thing is, like, Brady said it himself after the win against the Eagles, is offense is not the strength of their team. It's how good they are on defense and special teams. Like, it's kind of ironic, like, Dak is the one that's climbing into the MVP consideration, and Brady, you know, I mean, God, I feel dumb saying this about the greatest of all time, but, like, he's just managing their offense right now. Like, he's not putting up these gaudy stats that's the reason why they're winning games. It's so, and, you know, it's a broken record, but, like, the way they reinvent themselves is so amazing. Like, this is, when I think of the Pats offense, other than the fact that they have Brady, like, it's just a carousel of, like, badass running backs. That's really what I think about. I mean, you got Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead's still there, James White's still there, Bolden is still there. Like, they all run really well between the tackles. They all catch the ball. And that's really only within the last, like, 2 or 3 years that that kind of happened. Like, they used to be, you know, the 12 personnel team. Like, they started the 12 personnel revolution when they had Gronk and Hernandez and, you know, before all of that stuff happened.
Yeah.
It seems like a lifetime ago. But they've reinvented themselves like 7 or 8 times in the last, you know, 15-plus years. And right now, they're a power run team with a very smart, experienced quarterback.
It is the ability to get the ball to their running backs in so many different ways the biggest weakness also for the Cowboys defensively?
With the way that the Cowboys linebackers have played on and off this season, yeah, I think that seems fair to say. Because I think, again, you know, even this season, it's funny to think the way the Pats have kind of had to reinvent themselves. Like, they had they had Antonio Brown for like a cup of coffee, and Gordon was there for a hot second. But really, you know, other than the constant of Julian Edelman, yeah, like, there's not in the way of, like, I don't want to call him not threatening, because I mean, Philip Dorsett's a good player, but, you know, they haven't had that constant at wide receiver. And so, yeah, like, you're trying to get these running backs the ball in space, and they do a really good job of it. Well, the Cowboys have struggled playing sideline to sideline, and they've struggled with tackling. And those are both things that you're going to have to do with that many good backs. Fortunately, you know, we saw what Jeff Driskel could do. We saw the problems they had with the mobile quarterback. I don't think you have to worry about that with Tom Brady. That is one nice thing about playing him, is he's not going to break contain and burn you with his feet. But he's got a lot of guys he can get the ball to, and he knows how to get him the ball quickly and efficiently.
And then moving over to defense, as we were just kind of discussing, like, the calling card for the Patriots this year and Tom Brady's first two Super Bowls, what immediately stands out as you have to defeat this player or this unit if you want to win on Sunday?
Full disclosure, it's Tuesday morning. I haven't had a chance.
Got some work to do.
I haven't had a chance to dive into it, but, like, right off the top of my head, like, the scary thing about the Pats is, like, I don't know, do they have that guy who's, you know, just the dominant dude that you're game planning for? Yeah, Gilmore is a hell of a cornerback. The McCourties have been freaking awesome in the secondary for what feels like a decade. Like, the play McCourty made in the Super Bowl last year that basically won him the game was one of the coolest safety plays I can remember in recent memory. But, like, you know, they don't have that, like, oh my God, you got to double team this end, or, you know, this guy's going to take over the game. They just have, like, 16 really, really good players, and they do what Belichick tells them to do, and they do it at a high level. I mean, you know, they had Michael Bennett, who already has 3 sacks with the Cowboys, and they didn't even use him because they were doing so many multiple fronts and changing up their personnel. If you watched them play against the Eagles at all, like, they're running 2 down linemen blitzes, and, you know, they'll have 3 linebackers, they'll have 5, they'll have 6. Like, it defies what you think of in conventional football logic, and I'm going to assume it's going to be a challenge to go against.
Now, we got Dave Hellman from DallasCowboys.com joining us, and I know he's grief-stricken at the moment after his loss of Brian Broaddus yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
However, it is our win, as he is still part of our team. I wanted to kind of – I know what I've learned from him over the years. I've reached out to him on a number of occasions. If I was like, hey, man, I kind of like this player, especially when we were doing draft stuff, what do you think about it? And he's like, Corey, you're right. Or most of the time, I just want him to tell me I was right. But he didn't always do that. He's always very honest. What were your favorite qualities about working with him?
First of all, you know, I want to throw this out there, like, and understandably so. I mean, I'm very sad to lose him as a teammate. He's, you know, I consider him one of my closest friends just in life, let alone in this industry. Loyal to a fault. He would do anything for anybody. I can't even begin to talk about how much he's taught me about football, just, you know, knowing what I'm looking at and understanding the game on a level that I wouldn't have guessed I'd be able to. But no, I wanted to say is, like, you know, he didn't die, which I kind of feel like
you can still be sad, though, Dave.
No, I can absolutely be sad. But I mean, you know, he's going to be around with y'all.
Yes.
He's going to be working with the fan. He's still going to be talking about the Cowboys in the draft. He got a great opportunity and decided to take it. That's awesome for him. But, you know, as sad as I am that he's not going to be sitting 5 feet away from me every day, I have to remind myself, like, he's still going to be around doing a lot of the same stuff. So that kind of gives me some comfort knowing that, you know, it's not like he's just retiring or disappearing from the face of the earth. But, man, God, on top of everything else I just said, like, he's one of the funniest people I've ever been around. I mean, just sharing an office with him has been a joy. He's got the best stories. He's always in the mood to poke fun at people and joke around. And like I said, I mean, he's still going to be around, but it's going to suck not seeing him sitting 6 feet away all the time.
Sounds like he's in denial, Kevin.
I was in denial. I'm processing it right now. Like, I'm sure y'all have seen Shawshank Redemption. I'm thinking about that Morgan Freeman speech where it's like, you know, some birds just aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright. Like, that's how I feel right now.
I mean, I tried to bring Hellman and brought us back together by posting a tweet to both of them that hyped up his appearance all at the same time. So,
do you want to know the absolute truth of that? Is I saw your tweet and you posted a photo of, like, I mean, this embarrassing shirt, like that's where A&M is as a program, that they're commemorating regular season wins.
Don't take that away from us. That's all we got, okay?
But see, the funny thing is, like, I was about to say something snarky about that, and then I was like, well, you know, LSU just held a parade for beating Alabama, so, like, I can't really talk about getting excited about a regular season win. But they did announce the LSU A&M game's a night kickoff this year. It's in Baton Rouge, and I just hope... Me and Brian, I'm going to speak for Brian here. We both, after sitting through that 7-overtime loss in College Station last year and having to drive home at 3 o'clock in the morning, I think we're both looking forward to really beating A&M's ass. It's going to be awesome.
You know, good luck with all that, because it's definitely going to happen.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks, Hellman.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com.
I love this rivalry y'all got going on. It's fun.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan, and I'm pretty sure he was on Peace-a-thon once before, so I really should be friendlier to him. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where, guys, I apologize in advance. The Eagles are doing something pretty awesome, and I feel like we need to discuss. We'll do it next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, don't forget this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thursday, we're going to be out, Kevin, at the Eagle's Nest. Looking forward to seeing everybody. Come have lunch with us this Thursday. We'll party. We'll party in the middle of the day, man.
People always ask, when are you going to be in Fort Worth? Where are we in Fort Worth?
Don't doubt my ability to party in the middle of the day. Right now, and we also have Stephen Jones coming up at 12:15 today, so stick around for that one. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
And we start with, well, it's kind of funny, Corey. You had mentioned that maybe Antonio Brown could pop back up with the
Patriots.
But he is also sharing posts from fans calling for the Eagles to sign him.
What?
So maybe that...
Because they need receivers?
Yeah, maybe that could be where he ends up. So
What if he signed back with the Patriots this weekend, was released, and then signed with the Eagles in a couple weeks? Just so he could play the Cowboys a couple times.
Look, I'm telling you right now.
He's like, you see what Cheeto's doing over there?
I think Antonio Brown will either play for zero more NFL teams this year or like three. I don't think he's just going to catch on with one. He's just going to bounce around.
But will he be able to make it through an entire week of practice before he gets his opportunity to actually play in the game? He's only done that once, right?
So. Now. Yeah, I don't see it at all.
By the way, Kevin, real quick, our good friend Mark Lane just posted up a video of Tank Lawrence serving up Thanksgiving meals for the Salvation Army. Cowboys out doing some work today.
I love hearing stories like that. They're nice. They're friendly. Everyone can jump on the same page.
Yes.
These next couple stories are not like that.
Oh, no.
We will start with apparently President Trump and his administration have agreed to buy a campaign ad during the Super Bowl. So, you know, if you like reasonable conversation, just go ahead and, well, probably shut Twitter down altogether, but definitely whenever that ad comes on, because that's going to infuriate people. And you're like, well, that's fine, as long as that's the only one you got.
I'm sure it'll be a very vanilla ad that just is like, props himself up.
Nope. He's going to just be lobbing shots at people. That is my prediction. You say Sleepy Joe and all this other stuff.
I bet the ad sticks to sports.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of sticking to sports, let's talk about Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, man.
Guess what? He's thinking about having a workout at the NFL owners meeting.
Sweet. So that way he actually gets an opportunity to talk to the owners.
Yeah, no. This would be like an unauthorized workout.
So he's going to like go in the hotel lobby?
He would just set up and he was like, I'll throw a football to anybody in here. But like, it'll probably be more structured than that.
I want to see that.
But he's not going to be invited to do the workout at the owner's meeting, but would just do it anyway.
I absolutely want to see that.
I kind of do too.
Yeah, just go to the lobby, set up and start throwing the football around inside the lobby. The concierge is like catching passes from him and stuff. And the owners walk out of their meeting, like, they're immediately faced with it now. Now what do they do? Now what do they say? The media is going to be there, right? Like, if he's inviting the media. I don't know if it's the lobby or wherever, but They walk out. Now they have to answer questions. I would love to hear. Jerry's been very upfront with it, right? No, we're not sending anybody there. We'll have video to watch it. And, you know, he even said that he likes their quarterback situation as it is right now with Cooper Rush as the backup.
Yes, he does.
So, I mean, that was an honest answer there.
Now, the Chiefs were victorious over the Chargers last night, 24-17 on Thursday Night Football. During that game, Tyreek Hill only made it six plays. He had a hamstring injury. Waiting to hear follow-up about, like, how much the extent of that injury could bother him going forward. And then Anthony Lynn, he had a very, very insightful quote about the loss. He said, quote, "We needed to win this game," end quote.
Cool. That was it? That was all he had to say there?
He elaborated about different things here and there, but the crux of the quote was, yeah, we needed to win this game.
How frustrated do you think he is by his quarterback play?
Oh, man.
Like, you're kind of
you got to get a new quarterback
now. You're kind of handcuffed by the fact that you have a legendary quarterback. Jason Garrett went through this. A guy that a lot of people have a ton of respect for. He thinks he is something that he maybe is not anymore. And you have to try. You have to do the part of, do I convince them or do I squeeze all the juice that's left out of this thing? And that's what they're trying to do right now.
Especially because you have no choice at this point in the season. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. It's been a few days since we've discussed the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph dust up. Well, Browns defensive lineman Sheldon Richardson had this to say about Rudolph. Quote, "You can't antagonize a fight and then claim bullying. You get what's coming to you. He was protecting himself. I don't blame him. Guys keep rushing me, even with the helmet off. He's asking for it. Just leave it at that."
Oh, wow. That is hot. He's asking for it?
Always a dangerous phrase to say.
That sounds like it's a threat, man. You know, and it's not necessarily you're asking for it. But it sounds like a threat more than anything else. I don't like that at all.
You know what people didn't like this morning, and we told you this was going to be the case. Gronk's big announcement had nothing to do with football. He is going to host a music festival.
Yeah.
What?
Shippy is going to go to that music festival.
Yeah, let's go to Gronk.
Shippy's 100% going to be there, especially when I reveal to you the name. What do you think the name is to the Gronk Music Festival?
Gronkalicious.
Ooh, you are not far off.
69-a-palooza.
Okay, I don't know if we can say that.
Gronktacular.
Oh, you're really close. Gronk Beach.
Yeah.
So it's going to be at Miami during the Super Bowl, so it's going to be called Gronk Beach. How interested are you in the Tolos at 877-881-1053 to go to Gronk Beach?
I want to be there.
Me too.
Dude, you see the kind of people he parties with?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make a bold prediction right now. Highest concentration of STDs in North America will be at Gronk Beach.
All right, so when it comes to anything Gronk wants to do from now on, how often is he going to be linked to joining a team late in the season?
Oh, yeah. Given the time that you've almost hit the deadline for him to come off the injured reserve list.
And like even Romo is still linked to teams because Gavin Dawson will not give that up, and it's a great bit, and I love it. But even Romo's still involved there because, hey, that's a very skilled person that never quite got it. He's got everything he wants. He's won the Super Bowls. He's done all the stuff. He's partied hard, and now he can focus his life on other things. But, man, he can use media because of that. Just like the Cowboys players, Michael Irvin, Troy, Emmett, they can all they have to do is say, hey, I'm thinking about doing something, and everybody's instantly, this is a media story now. And that's how it was with Gronk yesterday.
The NFL has revealed the 24 running back finalists for the All 100 all-time NFL team. The running backs will be released on Friday. I'm going to give you the list of all 24. You tell me, worthy finalist or no, and we'll see if we can cut the list down.
Okay.
Marcus Allen.
Yes.
Jerome Bettis.
No.
Jim Brown.
Yes.
As a human, no.
Right. As a human, bad.
Earl Campbell.
Yes.
Okay.
Just because I loved him.
Good luck with this one. Earl Dutch Clark.
Man, the Dutch. Oh, yeah, everybody loves the Dutch.
Yeah. I had no idea who this was. He played from 1931 to 1938. He was a three-time NFL scoring champion and named All-NFL six of his seven seasons.
He also played in the NBA from 2009 to 2014.
That, no.
Earl Clark.
That was not him. Does he make the cut?
I didn't see him play, so.
Ooh, that's a no.
I can't say yes.
Eric Dickerson.
Yes.
Tony Dorsett.
Yes, absolutely.
Marshall Faulk.
Yes.
Red Grange. I know we didn't see him either, but I feel like...
I've been told about Red Grange.
Yeah.
Enough to just have to say yes.
Franco Harris.
Nope.
Hugh McElhaney.
I just knocked out two Steelers.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
No, not Hugh McElhaney. That was the SMU quarterback, right? No, that was Lance McElhaney.
Lenny Moore. Some of these people, I don't know. Marion Motley. Bronco Nagurski. All right, I feel like he has to make the cut. Walter Payton.
Yes.
You've heard of the story about his Hall of Fame pitch, right? The person pitching him stood up, so the legend goes, and said, Walter Payton, and sat back down. And that was the end.
That's the kind of mic drop that you want people
Absolutely.
To say about you.
Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
Okay.
There was a period of time when that dude was the best for a stretch.
Barry Sanders.
Yes.
Gale Sayers.
Yes.
This one is going to be interesting because if you're just doing this by the quality and the numbers, he's in. O.J. Simpson.
Ooh. Remember that unstoppable drive he had?
Yeah.
The Bronco?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Based on...
Hey, Twitter world.
Okay.
In his new Twitter account.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt's one of the best of all time.
Jim Taylor. Pass. Thurman Thomas.
Yeah, I know a lot of people just killed Thurman Thomas for not getting Super Bowl, but that dude was an amazing running back.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes, I love LaDainian Tomlinson.
And Steve Van Buren. I'll tell you this about Steve Van Buren.
Piano player.
He was... No. No. That's Van Cliburn, I think, is who you're thinking of. He played football for 8 years, was all NFL six times, and won four rushing titles in 8 years. I think he makes the cut.
Fine.
That drops us down to 17.
The people are furious that I killed the Steelers running backs.
Well, we'll make it. Whoa, look, this is Dallas, Texas, all right?
Yeah, Kevin's
this is the
not
Metroplex.
A huge Steelers fan.
I hate the Steelers. I don't care what drop exists or whatever in the world. I hate the Steelers. Uh-huh.
Do you not know about this draft, Jimmy?
Oh, I can find it, though.
Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, because they're doing something super awesome. So there was a high school game.
Wait, what'd you say?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It has to be said. When you hear the story, you'll be like, yeah, okay. So last Friday, there was a high school game in New Jersey between Camden and Pleasantville, which apparently is a real high school. It was interrupted following a shooting that injured three different people.
Mm.
So the Eagles have stepped in and offered to play the rest of the game tomorrow at Lincoln Financial Field. So they're going to host it at their actual NFL stadium to help out with all the money being raised going to the families impacted by the shooting.
I hope the entire city shows up.
Me too. I'm a huge Steelers fan.
Damn it.
Oh my gosh,
Happy
Kevin.
Father's Day.
The people that were shot included a 10-year-old boy. Damn. Potential bad news for the Eagles. The Seahawks are optimistic, though we'll find out more as the week goes along. But last night, Pete Carroll said that he believes Tyler Lockett will be able to play against the Eagles. He suffered a leg contusion in the game against the San Francisco 49ers, which they were victorious. And so Carroll says he thinks Tyler Lockett will be good to go. And then finally, there is a brand new favorite for MVP. Who do you think it is? Who do you think?
Dak.
No.
Lamar Jackson.
It's Lamar Jackson at essentially 1.5 to 1.
Should be Dak.
Right behind
Ezekiel
him.
Elliott.
It's not Ezekiel Elliott.
I agree with you, Jerry.
Is Russell Wilson. And then who do you think is third?
Dak.
No. It's Aaron Rodgers. Tied for fourth is Pat Mahomes and Dak Prescott at 10 to 1. However, behind them in sixth,
Dak.
I just told you, oh, okay. Dak. Kirk Cousins at 15-1.
Yeah, no, he's Tony Romo. He's putting together.
It's not Tony Romo.
I will say this: as much as I despise Kirk Cousins, his numbers say he is putting together a very good season. He finally figured something out. I still don't want him as my leader, but he's figured something out.
This is the most amazing NFL story you'll hear all day. A source from the NFL was talking about the 17-game season, and he said, "Well, the engineers, our statisticians, the health and safety committee have looked at the extension of one game and other scenarios, and the changes in health and safety are minimal. In fact, in some cases, it's a minimal decrease of how much you could get hurt." So the NFL is telling you that more games means healthier players. Got that?
Nope, that's not going to be true.
That's what they said. Their engineers told us. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how important is the clean pocket for Dak, and why can't role players just be role players sometimes? Talk about it next right here in The Fan.
I'm a huge Steelers fan.
Got a couple of things that I really want to dive into, and I hope you guys can join us on this and this part of the conversation about the Cowboys. One regarding Dak Prescott, the other regarding some of the role players on this team. I'll get into those guys in just a minute. But Jerry Jones on with Sean and RJ this morning. Let's do a little radio rewind this morning. Thank you very much, Kevin. Sean and RJ asked Jerry what his reaction is to the people who say that Dak is now in the MVP race.
We are so rewarded by the fact that he's having the year he has, and it's very fitting because with the type of offensive team we got, they've challenged him to be everything and more that he can be, and he's risen to the occasion.
Now, I often wonder how guarded Jerry wants to be in discussing Dak openly because they're in the contract situation, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to say too many nice things about the guy so that I don't have to pay him too much, but at the same time, when he's doing this well, why not just praise him for it? Why not just continue to roll out there and just say, hey, man, we got a guy.
I feel like he kind of did, right?
Yeah, I think he did too, and he's pretty awesome. And we're really lucky because at this moment, Kevin, the way Dak Prescott is playing, it will change the way defenses try to stop you later down the road. And knowing, and Helbin said this earlier, knowing that the Cowboys can do it in the run game too, whenever people try and convert and start stopping the pass, that could change things up a lot. I really do like what you're seeing from Jeff Kavanaugh right now on Twitter. He's doing his run study on what the Cowboys are doing. I'm sure they're going to talk about it during the G-Bag Nation today. We're always just pre-gaming for the nation anyway. But one of the things that he's talking about is the amount of times the Cowboys spread it out even more, not even having the wide receiver hugging the offensive line and don't invite another guy into the box. Cowboys are averaging 6 yards per play. Whenever they spread it out or whenever they bring it in tight, they're averaging 1.5 yards. So defenses say, okay, we're gonna focus and lock in on stopping this. Dak beat us. Well, the more Dak starts beating you and embarrassing you like that, the more you're going to get, oh, well, maybe we have something to really fear. And one of the questions they asked to Jerry also was about Dak's development. Let's go to Cut 12 on this one. And who deserves the credit for his development?
Yes, he deserves a serious acknowledgement about what he's doing with Dak. But make no mistake about it, that protection that Dak is getting is extraordinary. And it has risen to the occasion. And, right now we're pointing our finger at what we're not getting done sometimes in the run game, which basically is a little bit of a criticism of your offensive line in the run game. On the other hand, look what we're doing in the protection. And they're, make no mistake about it, simply they're putting the guys up front that make it more difficult for Zeke to run.
All right. He was talking about John Kitna deserving some credit for what Dak's getting.
I just put my own name in there and I enjoy it.
Name X. But the other thing that he added to that is obviously Dak's put in the work. Dak's put in all this effort. He has that nobody cares, work harder mentality.
Yeah.
Like that's what Dak has done. That's why he is doing what he's doing right now. But then on the other part of it is last year, Kevin, how many times do you think Dak got sacked?
Let's see. 45.
56.
Damn.
His sack percentage was 9.6.
Oh, God. That's too many.
And his rookie season, which was maybe his best year. Yeah, no, that was his best year. 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 3,600 yards.
Unless he was third or fourth in the MVP vote.
By the way, he's gonna bust past 3,800 yards, which was last year. He's okay. At 32 right okay. now, right? Like, there's no way that he's not getting up to 4,000 yards this year.
So he's already averaging 300-plus per game, and so you can – I mean, I think he's on pace for, like, right at 5,000, if not, like, just a touch below.
The sack percentage, he had 25 – he was sacked 25 times his rookie year, 32 times his second year, which was even without Zeke, and then 56 times last year.
Ooh.
He's been sacked 12 times this year. Now,
12?
12. That's just about a sack and a half a game. Is that right? Maybe a sack and a third?
1.2.
Yeah, 1.2 sacks per game. Now, earlier in the season, and this was what I wanted to see the Cowboys do, if they are going to throw the ball, they got to have a clean pocket.
Sure.
And early in the season, you saw, I don't know if you remember seeing Jason Garrett, and he was there was a video of the highlight from the New York Giants game. And Dak had a couple moments where he missed, and he even whenever he made good throws, he looked a little tight. And Jason Garrett recognized it, and he went over to him and he said, "Hey, the pocket's clean." And
pocket,
the pocket's clean. You just have to take a breath and relax and go through your progressions and make the throws, deliver the throws.
The composure,
the composure was, and that's whenever I thought, Shippy, that the composure stepped up. Because once he realized, I'm not having to run for my life, I have a second to breathe, then he was able to step up and deliver throws. And I really think that that's the thing right now. If you look at, and Choppy sent me these numbers earlier, Dak is second in adjusted sack rate and fifth in time to throw.
Now, can he continue this?
People went nuts about, oh, he has so much time to throw last year, right? But he got sacked 56 times. Maybe some of it was his fault. Maybe some of it was his line's fault.
But 100% some of it was his fault. And then, like, shouldn't you be pleased, right? Okay, so if you love Dak and you love the Cowboys, then you're all like, this is all gravy. Thank you very much, Corey. But if you love the Cowboys but you don't love Dak and you're like, the only reason he's good is because he has all the time to throw, but he gets sacked too much. Well, look what's happening. He's good. He has all the time to throw, and he's not getting sacked. So, like, the one negative that you had is now gone.
Yeah.
And so you should be super thrilled by that. And, like, it's not, you would probably already know this without looking at studies, but there's study after study that talks about how much better quarterbacks can excel when they're not under pressure, which seems like a no-brainer. And guess what? Dak has not been under a ton of pressure. And guess what's happening? He's been freaking awesome.
Delivering.
So, take that for data.
And exactly. Thank you, Coach Fizdale. You're right, because in this instance, he's delivering. So what, I mean, what's not to like about that? He gets time, and he crushes teams for it. Bravo, offensive line. Thank you for making our team awesome. Well, at passing.
The other thing that I wanted to point out is I have a problem with guys that are role players being, now he should be the starter. People saying that Tony Pollard should start over Zeke. People, that Jarwin should start over Jason Witten.
I do stand by that.
And one of my reasons is, sometimes can't role players just be role players? Like, now the guys that are unexpected to make plays on certain downs can get the ball because they are role players. They can make big plays because nobody's expecting them. Nobody's keying in on them because they are a role player. They are a bit player.
Do you think the tie to that is exactly proportional to people's dissatisfaction with the starter? Like, I don't know about that with Jarwin, because I'm not, like, dissatisfied with Witten. I'm dissatisfied with the offense and the way they operate, like, a little old-timey, and I think Jarwin could open it up. But I think the people who want Pollard to start, that is directly linked to their dissatisfaction with Ezekiel Elliott. And
yes,
I would be willing to argue that that's what most people think, is like, I want this person in the starting position, not always because I think they're the best, but because I'm dissatisfied with whoever's actually starting at the moment.
I always loved Nui Scruggs' approach to that. The most famous person in any city is the backup quarterback. Because he doesn't get the opportunity. He's great, but he doesn't get the opportunity. But you know what? Whenever he does, what's he going to be? Now, Dak stepped up. Dak had the chances to go past Kellen Moore and Romo, and he took a team over. I don't know that Tony Pollard, I think everybody loves Tony Pollard, but even when you heard Jerry Jones this morning say, look, did you not see when Zeke scored that touchdown? What's he doing? He's doing Dak's motion. He's doing Dak's thing. He brings that group together. He's part of the glue. And that sometimes you don't realize what a locker room means. You don't realize what these guys all mean for everything because you're so bent in, okay, what are their numbers going to be? Sometimes their numbers can be great one day, and then on the other side, maybe they're not going to be that great, but what else do they bring to the table? What else do they throw down for you? I know that Jarwin has the ability to explode. But if Jason Witten and Jarwin are out there and they're doing a play action rollout and Jarwin's going one way and Witten's going the other, a lot of times people are thinking they're running the ball to another side of the field, and that's why Jarwin's going to be as wide open as he is.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what's the most important thing to each one of these NFL playoff teams? We'll do that next right here on 105.3 The Fan. But before we get to that, here's what should be most important to you. Making sure that your finances is in order. And you might be thinking, well, my finances aren't in order, but there's no way to fix it. I'm too far gone. Not so fast. You give Mark Rubin a shout at 1-800-LAWYERS. You can also go to DallasTexasLegal.com. And you would be astonished to find out that any financial situation you're going to throw out there, Rubin and Associates, they've heard it before. And the whole reason they're in business is because they're able to help people get out of the financial holes they've dug for themselves.
You don't want to go to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. You want to talk to a TOLO first. It can seem like a tough call to make. I always use this term. You want to be able to breathe again. Because whenever you don't have the money to pay your bills, whenever you have credit card debt lying on top of you all the time, you feel like you can't breathe. You feel like you can't have fun in your life. And those road bumps, those financial road bumps hit us all the time. Everybody does. But Mark is in your corner. Don't let pride get in the way of making that call and getting yourself back on the path to financial freedom. Stopping those harassing bill collectors and their calls right now is going to help you out. Call Mark Cuban or Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, DallasTexasLegal.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.